at Chirebon Youth Sports Tourism and Culture Service, Wahyu Kusuma, revealed.
Walaupun kita punya keterbatasan dana,
even though we face some difficulties, we have annual agenda. For instance, tourism sector has routine activities or programs involving artists to perform at Taman Mini Indonesia Indah Culture and Tourism Park. It is twice in a year.
Voice of Indonesia with the news. The Ministry of Communication and Digital Affairs has said that the government is pushing to complete and issue the National Roadmap on Artificial Intelligence Utilization in June 2025. To prepare the roadmap, the government has opened opportunities for discussion with several parties, such as technology company Goto and the Japan International Cooperation Agency, since early 2000. President Prabowo Subianto has accused foreign parties of funding non-governmental organizations in an effort to stir division within Indonesia. He made the statement during his speech at the Pancasila Day commemoration held at the Pancasila Building in Central Jakarta on June 2, 2025. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Esok lusa dan selamanya hanya ada kau di hati. Kau buatku serasa hidup dalam mimpi. Meski terjaga tak ada setitik ragu, hadir mengajakku pindah ke lain hati. Bersamamu hingga bumi tak bermentari, padamu ku berjanji. Oh, semerbak kasih kita mewangi selamanya, harum abadi lestari asmara.
Asmara,
oh,
my. Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Aku harus menunggumu. Indonesia. Today's sound.
Of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you. Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice listener, the ASEAN, the government of Japan and UNDP officially launched the ASEAN Blue Carbon and Finance Profiling, or ABCF, projects to strengthen the sustainable management of blue carbon ecosystem. To know more about Indonesia's role in blue carbon and finance profiling, let's have a conversation with Ibu Dr. Aretha Aprilia, the team leader for Nature, Climate, and Energy of UNDP Indonesia. I'm Ray, and this is VOI Talk. And hello, Ibu Aretha, how are you today?
Hello, Mas Ray. Hello, listeners. I'm good. Thank you so much. How are you?
I'm fine, too. So, does the program already started?
Yes, the program has already kick-started. We just had our launch quite recently. As you know, that we have convened a number of countries and also kicked off the initiative alongside the ASEAN Secretariat and also our partners. So yeah, it's up and running for another, I would say another 10 months or so to complete the initiative, but we have a lot to do.
Of course, and let's hope for the best. And without any further ado, I would like to ask you, in what is Indonesia's role in blue carbon and finance profiling project with ASEAN and Japan?
Yes, thank you so much for the question. So as you know that Indonesia plays a very pivotal role in the ASEAN blue carbon and finance profiling project. This is, as you mentioned earlier, that it's a regional initiative that's launched by ASEAN, Japan, and UNDP to accelerate the sustainable blue economy efforts in Southeast Asia. And as the host and primary implementing country, Indonesia, through UNDP Indonesia, is leading the coordination of this initiative in partnership with the ASEAN Coordinating Task Force on Blue Economy. So, Mas Ray, Indonesia itself, it brings to the table its very rich blue carbon ecosystems, you name it, mangroves, seagrass, peatlands, and very extensive expertise in marine science, and which is on this project, is also being harnessed through very strong collaboration with reputable institutions such as Gajah Mada University and the Jakarta-based Economic Research Institute for ASEAN and East Asia, or AREA. So the initiative is also closely aligned with Indonesia's own development priorities, particularly those related to climate mitigation and ocean sustainability. And also part of this collaboration, Indonesia supports the integration of blue carbon values into the national and regional policy frameworks. And this project itself also aims to strengthen the technical capacity in carbon stock assessment, financing readiness, and science-based decision-making. Those are the areas where Indonesia is very actively engaged. So, Mas Ray, we really believe that Indonesia, alongside with these countries, could share experiences and also lessons learned for a collective learning across ASEAN. And additionally, Indonesia has also pioneered what we call the blue finance instruments, such as the blue bonds and Sukuk. And for example, in May 2023, Indonesia issued approximately $150 million in blue bonds on Japan's market with UNDP support. So, Mas Ray, Indonesia is very well positioned to share experiences and also insights in both the subject matters with other ASEAN member states and also Timor-Leste.
Okay, so speaking about Timor-Leste and the blue carbon profiling that will involve identifying, mapping, and valuing carbon stored in marine and freshwater ecosystem using the best available science, satellite technology, and field of assessments. So do ASEAN and Timor-Leste already have the technology, or do we have to start from scratch?
Well, actually, yeah, that's a very good question. But ASEAN member states and Timor-Leste are not starting from scratch in the blue carbon profiling. ASEAN countries have engaged in various blue carbon initiatives, including habitat mapping and also carbon stock assessments. However, as we know, that disparities do exist in technical capacities and also data availability across the region. And so to address these gaps, ASEAN, in collaboration with Japan and the UNDP, launched this project in this month. So this project really truly aims to strengthen the technical capacities and to develop the robust blue carbon profiles and to integrate the blue carbon strategies into the national and regional development plans across the ASEAN and Timor-Leste. Meanwhile, as we know that Timor-Leste has undertaken several initiatives to map and assess its coastal ecosystems. And while these efforts have laid the groundwork, Timor-Leste also continues to develop its technical capacities in blue carbon profiling. So the participation in this project is expected to provide additional support in terms of training, technological transfer, and also access to international climate finance. So both ASEAN and Timor-Leste are building upon the existing foundation in blue carbon profiling. And this project serves as a catalyst for enhancing the technical capabilities, fostering regional collaboration, and also integrating blue carbon strategies into broader sustainable development goals.
Okay, that is such an interesting insight. And what makes ASEAN and Timor-Leste a strategic region for implementing these initiatives? And according to you, how is the condition of the marine ecosystem in ASEAN today, especially in this modern age?
Yeah, that's also an interesting question. I think when we think that ASEAN and Timor-Leste are truly considered a strategic region for blue carbon initiatives because of their rich ecosystems, the climate vulnerabilities, and also the potential for the regional leadership in nature-based solutions. First, because of the blue biodiversity and ecosystem significance. Mas Rey, as we know that ASEAN harbors 20% of the world mangroves, the vast seagrass meadows and tidal marshes and peatlands, those are very critical ecosystems for carbon sequestration. And then secondly, it is very highly vulnerable to climate change. We all know that many ASEAN countries and Timor-Leste are archipelagic and coastal nations, very acutely vulnerable to sea level rise, coastal erosions, and extreme weather events. So the blue carbon ecosystems serve as natural buffers, making the protection and restoration a strategic priority for climate adaptation. And then third of all, also quite important, is to identify what are the potential climate finance mobilization. The countries in the region are actively pursuing access to climate finance, including blue bonds and also results-based payments under the carbon markets. So the profiling of the blue carbon stocks makes ASEAN and Timor-Leste finance ready, unlocking opportunities for investment in conservation and also restoration. And last but not least is to bridge science and policy, which are ASEAN nations are rapidly expanding their technical and scientific capabilities. And these initiatives helps bridge the local ecological knowledge with remote sensing and measurement reporting and verification systems for climate action. So in short, the region's ecological richness, strategic political collaboration, and also urgency of the climate resilience make it very ideal for testing ground and global leader for blue carbon development and finance innovation.
Okay, so a super exciting news about it. So, Dr. Areta, I would like to ask you another thing. In this project, how many percent can Indonesia contribute to the target of this project? And can you tell us, like, in details about what Indonesia will mainly proposing to do in this project?
Indonesia is poised to make a very significant contribution to the ASEAN Blue Carbon and Finance Profiling Project, given its substantial blue carbon resources. The country is home to approximately 22 to 25% of the world mangrove forest and the largest share globally, and also possess the second largest area of seagrass meadows. So these ecosystems are very critical for carbon sequestration, with Indonesia's mangrove forest storing an estimated 3,200 megatons of carbon. So it's quite significant. So this project itself, it does not specify the exact number quantitatively on the national contributions. But Indonesia's extensive coastal ecosystems and existing conservation efforts position it as a very key player in achieving the project's objective. So, well, I would say like the ballpark number, it would be like around 20 to 30%, but please don't quote me because this is not a specific, determination of the project contribution based on the Indonesia's contribution to the project, but this is kind of a ballpark number. And so this project itself, you know, it's being implemented with UNDP, but with the support from UGM and also EDIA. We try to come up with the ASEAN Blue Carbon Profile and also ASEAN Blue Finance Profile, unlocking the opportunities for us to come up with the opportunities for financing on the climate finance front in the future. So by 2026, we try to come up with around 22 ASEAN Blue Carbon and Blue Finance Profiles for each of the specific countries in ASEAN and also Timor-Leste.
Okay, so speaking about the impact, can I ask about what is the worst impact if we lost 2% of the marine ecosystem, especially in Indonesia, even though we have quite the largest marine ecosystem in the world?
Yes, so if we talk about 2%, maybe it doesn't seem to be a lot, but actually it's quite substantial, right? If 2% of the marine ecosystems were lost, particularly in ASEAN, then the worst impact would not just be ecological, it would be also profoundly economic and social. So losing even 2% of the ASEAN marine ecosystems could mean the collapse of the critical habitats such as coral reefs, mangroves, seagrass beds that act as nurseries for fish, to protect coastlines and also to support the food security for over 600 million people in the region. So the ripple effect could trigger fishery stock declines, the threatening of the livelihoods of millions of coastal people who rely on the fishing, not to mention the over $3 billion US dollars of annual fishery industry in this region. And not to mention tourism, and especially in the marine-based destinations like Indonesia, Thailand, and the Philippines, would take a direct hit. You know, with the coral bleaching, for instance, the diminishing of the appeal of snorkeling and diving spots could potentially reduce tourism revenue and also local jobs. And then losing 2% of the marine ecosystems could also reduce carbon sequestration capacity, which is the process of capturing and storing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere to reduce the amount of greenhouse gases that contribute to climate change. So coastal ecosystems like mangroves could store carbon up to 4 times more than terrestrial forests. So you can imagine the loss. It will accelerate the climate change impacts, and including the sea level rise and extreme weather, which disproportionately harm low-lying ASEAN nations. So in short, Masrey, this small percentage loss is not small at all. It's a warning. A 2% cut in marine health could tip the balance towards an ecological, economic, and also humanitarian crisis. So this is why the project is there. Hopefully this would contribute to helping ease the burden of that.
I see. So since the project is really maintaining the marine ecosystem in the world, especially in Indonesia, how can the UNDP educate people to preserve marine ecosystem in their area, since many of Indonesian citizens lives in the coastal area of Indonesia and there are many islands that are habitable by humans as well? So how can the UNDP like spread around the message to like preserve the marine ecosystem?
Yes, that's a very important question. This is actually the bread and butter of the work that UNDP does. In addition to the work that we do on the upstream, on the policy level with the government, but also on the downstream, like intervention of the various projects that we do with the communities and others. But raising awareness, knowledge management are the forefront of the interventions that we do. So UNDP raises awareness to preserve marine ecosystems through various means. We do this by linking marine conservation with inclusive economic opportunities and trying to have kind of an intervention having a connection with women empowerment as well. So I'm giving you an example. We support through international seminars that spotlight how marine preservation can go hand in hand with livelihoods, empowering coastal women as drivers, as both economic growth and marine conservation agents. So we actually presented the case from the Arafura and Timor Seas Ecosystem Action Project in the past, where we supported local women groups in Rotendao in producing eco-friendly products such as mangrove soap to be marketed to the nearby hotels and to facilitate access to Bang and Tete. And similarly, through the platforms like the ASEAN Blue Innovation Challenge, we nurture innovative solutions such as marine plastic upcycling, sustainable fisheries, monitoring, biodegradable coastal products by the provision of mentorship, seed funding, and feasibility to promising ideas from across the ASEAN region and Timor-Leste. So this is complemented by a series of targeted webinars, boot camps, and capacity building workshops that bring together young innovators, researchers, local changemakers to exchange knowledge and co-develop solutions grounded in science and also local realities. And these stories, Mas Rey, also, and the innovations that are coming up of them are going to be elevated on global stages, like the upcoming Osaka Expo that we're going to also participate in, where they not only showcase ASEAN's leadership in the blue economy, but also inspire broader policy dialogue and international collaboration for ocean preservation.
I see. So in this 10 months, there will be lots of collaboration between nations in like preserving the blue economy, especially the marine ecosystem from the program that is going on right now, right?
Yes, that's the plan and the idea.
Okay, so speaking of the women empowerment, what is women's biggest role in helping reducing the impact of the climate change?
Women has very vital role in this sphere because they are essentially also like in the family system, they also kind of a decision makers, right? In the household and the domestic areas, they do make the decisions in a number of things in their respective households. And given that women also have altruism embedded in them, they do have characters of having an intuitiveness to conserve their environment, to which we try to tap into that opportunities for them to be part of the initiatives that we have, a number of initiatives that we have on the ground at the landscape level in the coastal areas. We try to embed how the women are being empowered in the conservation, but also how they can also come up with some ideas on the business that can be generated from, as I mentioned earlier to you, coming up with environmentally friendly products coming from mangroves, for instance, or let's say, because we're not only working in the marine areas, we also work in the forest areas. So when we talk about the forest areas, we also work with the people who are living adjacent to the forest area. So instead for them to exploit the forest, we also try to empower the women communities to come up with some solutions to have businesses or small businesses, I would say, for them to be able to support the families with, let's say, like for instance, in Kalimantan, we have this approach to encourage the women community to develop the stingless bee production. So that kind of initiatives that are being generated from the bottom up. And similarly, in the coastal areas, if we can also produce similar activities, so if we also talk about ecotourism, how we can also include the women to be involved in the tourism industries, in the various activities that can be coming from the ground, I think this is, there are a number of avenues that women can be contributing to the space.
Okay, that is an interesting insight on how and what is women's role in this preserving the natural ecosystem. So in this program, is there a way for the people to like report if they are seeing someone or something like
ruining the marine ecosystem, like reporting to the UNDP through a first person or?
Yeah, so in Indonesia, if, you know, in UNDP, we do have worked with the government in a system called SPAN Lapor. So it's called SP4N Lapor, L-A-P-O-R. So this is a system that would enable anyone, if they witness or become aware of any intentional damage to marine ecosystems in Indonesia, they can report it to this SPAN Lapor system, which is an Indonesia's national public complaint system. So this platform operates on a referral basis, meaning that submitted reports are reviewed by the SPAN Lapor administrators and then forwarded to the relevant government agencies, such as, you know, the Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fisheries, the Ministry of Environment, Ministry of Fisheries, and other, you know, local authorities for proper follow-up and also action. So using this official channel will hopefully ensure accountability and also timely responses. But people in the ASEAN countries, they may also try to report the local authorities, such as the local environmental agencies. In Indonesia, we have the Dinas Lingkungan Hidup. And then local fisheries department, marine conservation agencies. There are a number of NGOs, CSOs. They can be also, you know, contacted. And reports can also be made to community marine protection groups. And as I mentioned, environmental NGOs. And many countries in ASEAN also offer hotlines or online platforms for confidential reporting or environmental violations. So there are a number of channels that we can actually go about this.
Okay, so SPAN Lapor is like the one line to call anyone and everyone can report and tell if something about the marine ecosystem is being like threatened.
Yeah, this is actually a public complaint system, so it's not necessarily only for marine ecosystems, but it can also be for marine ecosystems public complaint, if any. So, yeah, so that can also be utilized as need be.
Okay, so Dr. Areta, I would like to ask you the final question is how do people can contribute to preserve the marine ecosystem better?
Yeah, I think all it boils down to how we do it from the upstream, like from the households, how we do it from our own individual circumstances. So as you know that in Indonesia, we are encountering a lot of issues with marine debris and particularly marine plastic debris where, you know, it chokes the ocean, you know, if the generation of marine plastic is in the trends as it is now, then it is projected that the amount of plastic in the sea is going to be even more than the fish in the sea. So, you know, there's the need for us to have the awareness that, you know, we have to be able to consume wisely. That's first and foremost. We don't overconsume. And then secondly, if we do consume, then we have to be able to be wise in terms of managing our waste appropriately. So in this case, I think that the government of Indonesia, and I'm sure that the government in ASEAN countries, they are more and more aware of these issues. But I think that this is not just the issues of the government per se, but it is the responsibilities of the public or the citizens. So it is a call and a plea for help for all of the people to be able to reduce the waste at source. And if possible, you know, segregate the waste at source in which that if the waste are sorted, then we can be able to, you know, recycle the waste since the beginning, since the source, so that it will not be, you know, trickle down or being leaked to the ocean to the ocean or the water bodies as we see it a lot these days. So I think that's one, and also a call of action to all of the you know, women also in Indonesia that I think we have to also make conscious choice as well to be agents of change starting from the households. So I guess there are just a lot of things that we can do together, and I think with the spirit of collaboration, we can achieve what we try to get in the future.
Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Areta Aprilia, for your time in explaining about today's topic of Indonesia's role in blue carbon and finance profiling. So, Voi listener, the ASEAN Blue Carbon and Finance Profiling Project represents a strategic effort to position blue carbon as a key of Southeast Asia's sustainable and inclusive future. Will it work or not? It depends on our contribution as an agent of change and to keep the marine ecosystem alive. So, thank you so much for your listener. My name is Ray, and thank you for watching VOI Talk, and I'll see you in another episode of VOI Talk, only on Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Dendang lagu.
Thank you for listening to Voice of Indonesia through RRI Digital. You can enjoy directly the programs of all RRI stations across Indonesia, your favorite playlist, inspirational podcast, and the latest video news. You can immediately interact with us by using like, comment, share, and live chat. RRI Digital, download now on Google Play and App Store because it's a solution for entertainment and information in your hands.
Children love just screen time.
Screen time.
Yay! But sometimes they don't.
Screen time.
Okay.
Changes in behavior may be a sign that our children have been exposed to inappropriate content or online bullying or predators. Pay attention to the sign. It's not too late.
Screen time.
Dad, help me.
Find more ways to protect children online from your local children protection agency or visit unicef.org.
We've been talking about theater, especially musical theater in Indonesia, including the Mamma Mia rerun of 2025. I also mentioned some of the theater from Jakarta Move-In, like Interaksi and Petualangan Sherina, and also Eki Dance Company that produced Lutung Kasarung, because I am very interested ever since I watched those that musical theater from Jakarta Art House, Mamma Mia the Rerun. It was very much an interesting experience, and I am very, very much curious to know more about Indonesian theater industry. And I believe that Indonesia not only has a beautiful and a very various of cultural and also richness in art, including theater art, musical music, and traditional art. There are a lot of beauty in Indonesian culture and Indonesian diversity. One of them is tradition. And now I want to play you a feature about Indonesian beauty captured in Alu tradition in Natuna. Enjoy.
Listener, wherever you are, talking about cultural treasures, no doubt, Indonesia with its various tribes in the archipelago presented with its diversities of cultural treasure, whether it is still preserved or perhaps has already gone, swallowed by age, is one of the richest. With its vast and fertile land, agriculture is the dominant sector in Indonesia, and of course, it is expected to sustain the economy of the state. Rice plants are included the most favored sector in Indonesia, because rice is the staple food for most of Indonesian people, including in Natuna Regency, Riau Island Province. The district's sea waters is bigger than its land area. About 97% comprises of the sea, while the land is only 3%. So small wonder that its agricultural prospects are not remarkable. The agricultural sector has not been managed optimally, since most people lived from sea products, such as becoming fishermen, while the sprawling paddy fields are only cultivated by small proportions of farmers. There is a unique tradition in Natuna Regency when farmers begin to harvest rice. It is called alugain, which is pounding rice grain to produce rice chips. So it is actually the process of making rice chips. Alugain is done by some farmers in time for rice harvest by using some simple devices, namely a half-meter-sized wooden mortar, some bastles or rice pounders made of ironwood with different sizes. The size is not without meaning anyway. There are certain sizes that produce a sound notation. Furthermore, a furnace with wood fuel is also prepared to roast the newly harvested rice that has been pounded into chips. This ALU game is conducted from noon until late at night. Can even be held up to several days. After a lot of chips have been produced, it's time for the woman to gather the ways of chips making. It is then put into a bowl, added with some grated coconut, brown sugar, and poured with a little hot water. A delicious dish is all ready to be enjoyed together. Listener, perhaps you are curious as to what kinds of sound the ALU or rice pounder can make. Well, let's listen to the following then. Listener, to learn more about ALU game when rice harvest times arrives, let's find out from a community leader who is also an ALU game specialist, Haji Kamaini.
So according to the story, the origin of ALU game was a man who was deliberately left in the woods by his brothers because he had an incurable disease for quite a long time. While left alone in the woods, the man created a game and some songs to fill in the time and forget his loneliness. So that it's how the first ALU game was created. Then he met three people who were looking for rattan. They worked for the king in Natuna. Upon questioning, the man told them that he had been deliberately dumped by his family and he had created the game and the sound. The three men then returned to the king and told him that there was a very nice sound in the forest that they have never heard before. Then they brought the king and his warriors to the forest where he heard the sounds. He ordered his men to take the man from the woods and bring him home. Thus, the game of ALU was created.
Pisahkan di dalam hutan tadi, dibawa pulang ke rumahnya, maka diciptalah sekarang ini yang dinamakannya ALU.
As the time goes by, Haji Kamaini said, the ALU game is getting more growing. Previously, the game was done by one person, but currently, there are 7 pounders for each performance.
Originally, there was only 1 pounder with 1 person. Now there are 7 person with 7 pounders, 1 for each player. So all in all, there are 1 motor with 7 pounders consist of 4 big ones and 3 small ones. ALU game now has become our inheritance for generations. It's for our ancestor. So it has been passed down, not just 1, 2, 3, or 4 generations.
According to Haji Kamaini, ALU game should be preserved so it will never be lost. According to him, the number of songs in the game was not 2, 3, or 4 songs, but 12. Haji Kamaini hopes the government will help in preserving it so the ALU emping padi or rice chips pounder game culture will continue to exist. Listener, hopefully the ALU game played when the rice harvest comes will continue and remain stable in the society, not disappear in time and swallowed by modernization. Hopefully the sound of ALU pounder on the mortar when the rice harvest time comes will continue to be heard in Natuna.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany. Let's speak Bahasa Indonesia. Indonesian pop and regional songs, international musical entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Ribuan hari aku menunggumu, jutaan lagu tercipta untukmu. Apakah kau akan terus begini? Masih adakah celah di hatimu yang masih bisa kutuk singgahi? Cobalah aku kapan engkau mau. Kesejukan yang kau rasa, coba keluar di terik siang. Ingatlah bintang yang kau sapa, maka kehangatan yang kau rasa.
Itu aku.